Now, if you listen to the news, they're predicting the worst of everything to happen. And it may very well come out that way. And with printing and spending trillions of dollars, and it really doesn't make any sense, does it? Apparently, we got in this mess because we borrowed too much money. So the way we're going to cure it is borrow four times more that amount. Doesn't make any sense. But you see, it's really not the economy that's the problem. It's the leaders and the people. Now let me read you this about a Tennessee high school football game. And the principal makes a statement before the game. This is a statement that was read over the PA system at the football game at Rowan County High School, Kingston, Tennessee, by Principal Jody McLeod. It has always been the custom at the Rowan County High School football games to say a prayer and play the national anthem to honor God and country. Due to a recent ruling by the Supreme Court, I am told that saying a prayer is a violation of federal law. I understand law at this point. I can use this facility, on the other hand, to approve of sexual perversion and call it an alternate lifestyle. And if someone is offended, that's okay. I can use it to condone sexual promiscuity by dispensing condoms and calling it safe sex. And if someone is offended, that's okay. I can even use this public facility to present the merits of killing an unborn baby as a viable means of birth control. If someone is offended, no problem. I could designate a school day as Earth Day and involve students in activities to worship religiously and praise the goddess Mother Earth and call it ecology. I can use literature, videos, and presentations in the classroom that depict people with strong traditional Christian convictions as simple-minded and ignorant and call it enlightenment. However, if anyone uses this facility to honor God and to ask him to bless this event with safety and good sportsmanship, then that's a violation of federal law. This appears to be inconsistent at best and at worst diabolical. Apparently, we are to be tolerant of everything and everyone except God and His commandments. Nevertheless, as a school principal, I frequently ask staff and students to obey rules with which they do not necessarily agree. For me to do otherwise would be inconsistent at best, and at worst, hypocritical. I suffer from that affliction enough unintentionally. I certainly do not need to add an intentional transgression. Therefore, for this reason, I shall render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and refrain from praying at this time. However, if you feel inspired to honor, praise, and thank God, and ask Him in the name of Jesus to bless this event, feel free to do so. As far as I know, it's not against the law yet. One by one, the people in the stands bowed their heads, held hands with one another, and began to pray. They prayed in the stands, they prayed in the team huddles, they prayed at the concession stand, they prayed at the announcer's box, and the only place they didn't pray was in the Supreme Court of the United States of America, the seat of justice in the one nation under God. Somehow, Kingston, Tennessee remembered what so many have forgotten. We are given the freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. Praise God that His remnant remains. Jesus said, "If you are ashamed of me before men, then I will be ashamed of you before my Father." If you're not ashamed, pass this on. I just did. Comment was made with the lawyer Jay Sekulow and his Center for Restoring Christian Values to the American public scene. He has a lot of lawsuits out to try and overturn a lot of these things. So there are some people out there trying to do what is right. You can consider those people to be the remnant of Israel in the letter of the law. And I ask you if you have followed Glenn Beck recently, and I think what his 9-12 thing that he is doing reminds me of, it reminds me of an Old Testament revival under the judges. There are a lot of people out there warning, making a lot of warnings, and I think it's kind of sad and very ironic, and I want you to pray about this too. Not that other people would not do warning. They need to warn. But what is sad and ironic is what? The Church of God has been scattered and made impotent. And the churches of God need to repent and start giving warnings, and they need to quit oppressing the people that they are serving and begin to reach out to help heal them, and then they can reach out and do something to warn the world. After all, should we not be the ones who are doing it? Yes, indeed. But God is not going to be without witnesses. Every once in a while you can hear that maybe God used Rush Limbaugh for a witness. Or maybe Sean Hannity, who, as a Catholic, doesn't have any statues in his house, which tells you he's not a Catholic like others. And maybe even Glenn Beck, maybe some others. And even, here, let's go to Jeremiah 23. Let's see something that is interesting here. What is interesting is this, is that the Word of God and the truth of God is still true, and the Word of God, regardless of who speaks it. Now, some people speak it out of truth and sincerity, some out of contention. But notice what God says concerning the prophets. Let's pick it up here, Jeremiah 23 and verse 7. Let's go back to verse 1, because here's what's going to be the cause. We're going to see that the seed of destruction that has now blossomed into the wild vine of corruption that Israel is today were the Protestant ministers who rejected the Sabbath and declared the commandments of God abolished. And that set up a lawless society. And over the generations from the founding of this country, we've had various rises and revivals and falls, various levels of corruption, and again, revivals. And now we are facing the greatest corruption possible. Notice what God says here, verse 1, Jeremiah 23. Woe to the pastors who destroy and scatter the sheep of my shepherd. Of my pasture, rather, says the Lord. These are the children of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, you have driven them away, you have not taken care of them. Behold, I will bring upon you the evil of your doings. That's coming. But notice verse 3. There's a little encouragement here right along. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply, and I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be afraid, nor shall they lack anything, says the Lord. So this blends right into the millennium. So we're talking about the end times here. Let's see what Isaiah said. Drop down here to verse 7. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord lives, who brought the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives, who brought you up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries where he had driven them. And they shall dwell in their land. So that's going to be the end result of it. And we are here learning how to fulfill those positions as kings and priests under Christ in the millennium. Now, verse 9. As for the prophets, my heart within me is broken. This is Jeremiah as he looks out and sees all this. And what did Jeremiah live through? He lived through the corruption and decay and fall of Judah and Jerusalem. The only respite that was there was when Josiah repented, and for 12 years, things were in pretty good shape. So I don't know if there is going to be a respite ahead of us, because are there enough people in the children of Israel to help turn it around? Are there enough people within the church of God who really love God and serve him that will cause God to pull back his hand? I do not know. But this is what he saw. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine is overcome because of the Lord and because of the word of his holiness. The land is full of adulteries. Because of swearing, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up and then alternately flooded out. And their course is evil. They wield power unjustly. Both prophet and priest are ungodly. Is that what has happened in the churches today? Read something about the emerging church. It will stand your hair on end. That is the remnant of the corrupt Protestant churches that are going to be brought into the one world religion, where doctrine is not important. Caring and belonging is what is important. And so what happens? They cut off everything with loving God, and you care for people and do nice things and do whatever you want and accept everyone the way that they are in great, wonderful, hugging, kissing diversity. But be careful you don't get HIV. Yea, in my house I have found their evil, says the Lord. So their way shall be to them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall in their way. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their judgment, says the Lord. Is this our year of judgment at this time for us? And what do they tell them? Well, let's continue on. This chapter is full of a lot of things that apply to today. Verse 13. I've seen repulsive things in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy by Baal at sun worship on Sunday. They cause my people Israel to go astray. I have also seen the prophets of Jerusalem in them a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that none returns from his evil. They are all like Sodom to me, and their inhabitants like Gomorrah. Have you ever walked down the streets of Hollywood recently? I was there about a month ago. And I've been there before. And it is like watching the occult walk by. Everyone trying to get a hit, to be noticed, following perversion and weirdness, not only in their behavior, but in their dress and how they look. And if you're dressed like I am, you stand out like a sore thumb as someone from a bygone age. Absolutely amazing. This truly fits. That's to say nothing of San Francisco. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink poisonous water, for from the prophets of Jerusalem ungodliness has gone forth into all the land. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision from their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. They still say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say to everyone who walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil will come upon you. You have freedom. Go ahead and do it. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Who has attended to his word and heard it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed and until he has performed the purposes of his heart. In the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly. That's today. If you have Trinity Channel on your cable network, watch Trinity Network. If you haven't seen Joel Osteen recently, listen to him, and you will see these words fulfilled in your very ears. It's an amazing thing. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Now the next verse is an astounding verse. Let's read it. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from their evil doings. So the word of God is true regardless who speaks it, even a false prophet, and lo and behold, the proof of the pudding is Balaam, who wanted to curse, but God made him bless. Isn't that something? Now then he goes on here, he says, let's continue on here. Verse 23, am I a God who is near, says the Lord, and not a God far off? God is as close as your prayer and repentance. Can't get any closer than that. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth? Yes, look out there. See how he filled the heavens and the earth. Not with his bodily presence, of course, but with his power in creation. I've heard what the prophets said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? They scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell. Each one to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. So here's God's conclusion. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And that's where we are, brethren, to use the word of God faithfully. That's why this Bible is called a faithful version. Because we want to faithfully represent the Word of God as best that we can. Where we've missed the mark a little bit, which in some cases we have, we'll correct that, God will make it known, and we will take care of it. But notice, verse 29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Now let me read you an article called Fallen Idols. Now here's a man who undoubtedly has studied his Bible, but he is also a man who is a public official and having to deal with the end result of crime on a daily basis. And having been a sheriff for many years, he has seen the corruption and degradation of the population and the society all around him. So let me read what he wrote. His name is Sheriff Jim R. Schwieso. Kind of a combination between German and Polish. March 9th, 2009, newswithviews.com. Now he put the biblical things in knowledge, or in words rather, that people can understand. See, because when they hear a preacher reading the scripture, most people do this, put their fingers in their ears and run out screaming. So he writes, now I take a man like this as one of the prophets that God has raised up to tell the truth. That doesn't necessarily mean that he is qualifying for salvation. I don't know him. I don't know his heart. But he certainly knows his Bible and what he's talking about. The inescapable truth is that the American people love the lie. We are obsessed and possessed with lies and virtual reality of hundreds and thousands of kinds all day long through television, radio, books, video games, virtual reality glasses, where you can actually put those on and you can feel like you're walking down a street somewhere 10,000 miles away from you and hear all the sights and sounds like you're just there. And no one wants to face the truth. If that were not the case, they would not follow the lies of their political leaders with such assiduous relish. Oh, Obama was on Jay Leno. Oh, he was cool. He was an idiot. See, we have the president we have because that's the way the more majority of people are, and they voted for him. So we deserve him. That's part of the punishment and oppression for our sins that God has sentenced us with. Like Pavlov's dog, they salivate over political predicts that titillate their selfish desires with a false affirmation of gain without effort. Riches without endeavor. Oh, we're going to spread the wealth around. And a golden parachute without enterprise. They applaud the deceitfulness of their political gods and rest upon the promises of these, their heathen select. This is really very well written. They abhor the truth and adulate the lie. It is the American way. It is the devil's way. This nation is now on the fringe of the most egregious time in its entire history, and on the incipient edge of the most complete and devastating economic collapse that has ever been experienced or will ever be experienced. That is up to this date. He needs to read a little more of the book of Revelation. A collapse that will set into motion a series of cataclysmic events that will humble a spiritually impoverished people to the deepest depths of their souls. Millions may not survive these times, and those who do will have wished many times through the course of the events that they could have died. Sound a little bit like Deuteronomy 28? Yes, indeed. Where they have known plenty, they will know hunger and starvation. Where they have known wellness, they will know pestilence and disease. Where they have known peace, they will know strife and mind numbing violence. And I raised this question before, and I raise it again. Because in channel surfing the other night, I saw one of the maximum prisons for the most violent criminals in America. What are they going to do with them when they have no food and no water, and the guards refuse to stay there, and the governor orders all of them to be released? Now remember, we have more people in jail than any country on earth. And we have a lot of violent Mexican gang members there too. And when they come out, they're going to be looking to rob and steal and kill and plunder and to take revenge for their incarceration. Because that's the kind of people they are, dedicated to evil. Mind-numbing violence. Where they have known prosperity, they will know abject impoverishment and retching want. Where they have known safety, a holocaust and fiery destruction now awaits them. These are the wages due a sin-laden people. Now remember this. There's a man who's doing a movie or a documentary, I forget, but I saw the report on it, and he gave a report. I forget which news channel it was on. But in doing his interviews with many people, he said, you know, the average person lies 3 times within 10 minutes. Doesn't the Bible said the human heart is what? Desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. He was astonished. And that's no telling how many other lies fleeted through their minds while they were conversing. As I write, our idols, the secular gods of this nation, disintegrate before our eyes. As magically as they seem to appear, the monies in investment accounts disappear. I know I had a woman call and say, I've lost 40% of my 401k. What am I going to do? I said, well, you're going to have to make the decision yourself. But if it were me, I wouldn't leave a penny in there a minute longer. If you have a 401k or an IRA, figure how you can transfer that over into a gold-backed security. That way you may not lose as much. You have to be very careful of those too, because they're paper-backed securities. See? Just think for a minute. Why is this happening? Because the degree of sin and stench has reached up into the nostrils of God. And God has blessed this nation with the best of everything. Yet we've forgotten God. And God wants everyone to learn the lesson. You cannot live your life, even in the world, in a carnal way, and neglect God. At least keep His commandments in the letter. And who was responsible to take it to the world? Israel. That's the covenant that God made with Israel, Exodus 19. That you will be a kingdom of priests to me. For what? For the world. So I want you to think on this. Since we publish Bibles. Yes, we send out missionaries. Yes, we did a lot of things, but we didn't teach them what? The 3 most important things. Sabbath, Passover, and Holy Days, did we? No. Instead, we absorbed their ways. Instead, we included their diversity. And instead of honoring God, we wanted to know how these people worship their gods. So we sponsored the Parliament of World's Religion, the first one, in 1893, and from 1893 until this day. And remember, 1893 was less than 15 years from the first Westcott and Hort changing of the New Testament and subsequently the Old Testament, which started the avalanche of getting the Word of God out of the churches and out of the Bibles. So since we failed, that was our commission. That was our job. Oh, we brought them democracy. Oh, we'll bring them freedom. But you see, freedom without knowing God is not freedom. Because that freedom leads to the enslavement of the chains of sin. So what has God done? The message to Israel is this. Since you did not do what I wanted you to do, and since you are doing worse than the heathen, and you are killing up to date 50 million of my special creation of new children in the womb, your judgment day has come. It has already been coming bit by bit. I sent wave after wave of immigrants, which would not have come had you not killed all those innocent unborn, because they would have been born, and they could have had those jobs. But because you reject me and reject my laws and reject my way, and you make it official through the government and the Supreme Court, therefore, I've allowed to be raised up atheist societies and God-haters to see if you would return to me or not. Never happened. The investments are depleted. Public, private retirement systems are bankrupt. Bank reserves dissipate. Industrial conglomerates, heretofore thought to be inviolable, sink into oblivion. General Motors, AIG, amazing. Overbuilt and overpriced mansions are vacant and abandoned to decay, savaged by vandals that are left, and they are left to rot on their foundations. Boats, recreation vehicles, fine automobiles, clog the lots of dealers for want of buyers. Fine furniture and appliances to accessorize now vacant houses, gather dust in showrooms, and expensive personal accoutrements and fine clothing languish on store rack. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, we have spent ourselves into oblivion, being obsessed with sex and lies and pleasures. Right in the middle of this, what's going on? Oh, March Madness, the NCAA tournament. And everybody's all have their mind on that. What's going on behind the scenes? Drastic reduction in prices and urgent sales entice no customers, and empty storefronts look on to empty mall corridors like ghostly spectators. The whole mortgage debacle was merely a blip on a screen that ushered in the beginning of an economic recession. See, because remember, it would take $600 trillion to correct all the financial debacles in the world. And there's not that much money around, and Mr. Ben Bernanke couldn't print it fast enough. The collapse of the mortgage real estate markets will set off a raging economic fire that will polish off the economy and send the country into a depression from which there will be no recovery. Now, he ought to know. The Luciferian apparition hovered over the darkly ritualized inauguration of Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Soretto. It was an occultist celebration of demonic design. Sodomy was celebrated. Rick Warner, the New Age preacher of the Council of Foreign Relations, mocked Jesus Christ with a prayer in the name of Isa, a false Muslim Jesus. And Almighty God was likened to Allah. Satan must have been greatly pleased with the sacrament ceremony that was replete with all the appropriate occult ritual. A Sodomite bishop, who is married to another sodomite, was selected by Obama to lead prayers at inaugural events, and peripheral events were sate with deviant orgies. With that solemnization of demonic rule, the death of the United States was sealed. Now, there's much more to it, so if you want it, go online to newswithviews.com. And as I mentioned, it all came because the preachers wanted to have it their way. Come here to Isaiah, the 30th chapter, please. And the people wanted it that way. Now, I've thought about this for a time or two, when I've watched Joel Osteen tell his nice, wonderful little stories. Isaiah 30. I thought, I wonder what would happen if someone would stand up there in the pulpit, in full view of the television screen and the 16,000 sitting out there, and they have three services a day and rake in lots of money. And if they stood up there, he stood up there and said, all you people have your Bibles. I want you to turn to this scripture which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are all dismissed. Go home and repent. And come back here next week on Sabbath, Saturday, and we're closing the doors on Sunday. I think the security guards would have that person in hand, rushing him quickly off of the stage. Don't you? As a nut and a kook. Because here's what they want. And the people want it, because every time he tells a nice, pleasing story, everybody applauds. All right, let's read it here. Verse 8, again, just like in Jeremiah 23, it's the end time, right? Go now, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book, so that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That means the end times. That this is a rebellious people, lying children. They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Who say to the preachers, see not, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy delusions, your fantasy reality. Go out of the way, turn aside, out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Isn't that what they have written? Yes. It all lies at the feet of the Protestant ministers and the Catholic priests, but more the Protestant ministers, who began to usher in lawlessness through Sunday keeping and a false grace that did away with the laws and commandments of God. And it is built over the past 200 plus years. And what have they said about democracies? How long do they last? About 200 years. We're right there, aren't we? Yes, indeed. Verse 12, therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you have despised this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out like a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Have you ever driven by a brick wall and watched it through the years? Maybe you would be on your way to go to work, and with the rain and the moisture, it bulges out a little bit, and bulges out a little bit, and bulges out a little bit. Then all of a sudden, one morning, you come by, and here's all the city repair crew, you know, with trucks and men and backhoes and front hoes, and they're scooping up the wall that fell. Well, that's what happened economically with us. The wall collapsed. All of a sudden, There it was. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is smashed in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water out of the pit. Quite descriptive, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Let's go to the next track, please.